Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here with our special guest this week, Barbara Heil. Barbara's a friend I just met this past year, and she's got an amazing story and testimony from having been a Pentecostal pastor for decades, and she's come into the Catholic Church, and she's a very dynamic woman of God, and so I asked her to be on the program. So welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Drove all the way up from Iowa to come here to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
A little bit of a hike, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So let's talk about just your story kind of from the beginning. There's your testimony. That's what I'd love to hear and have our listeners, because I haven't even heard the whole thing. So I'd love to hear sort of the rest of the story.
Well, the rest of the story surprises a lot of people because the people that know me have either heard me speak or heard that I have been a missionary or a pastor or a speaker and now a Catholic convert, and they assume I grew up in a Christian home. And the fact of the matter is, basically, I was 10th generation heathen.
Yeah.
My parents never took me to church. I didn't grow up in church. In fact, my earliest memories are actually of violence. I can remember weeping in my bedroom after my father really whooped me, and only a certain generation is going to understand what it meant to get a whooping, and I used to get whooped.
Yeah.
And I can remember crying in my bedroom, and I'm talking like a 3- and 4-year-old, and there was a man in the sky that I would talk to through my window, and he would comfort me, and he was with me, and I would talk with this man in the window, and that was my life. And finally, when I was about 12, my mother left when I was 12. Left me and my brothers with my father. We lived at a Navy base in California at the time. And then several years later, I left also, went to go live with a friend, and somehow still managed to get to university. And while I was there, there was a huge Jesus movement that was going on. And in Woodinville, Washington, there was a big, what we call a revival. And literally, all of my friends from the University of Washington were becoming Jesus freaks overnight, meaning they went from partying and just having what they thought was a good time to suddenly they're at church every night, and I'm like, I don't understand you, and you guys are scaring me. And then one day, my friends come into the house where I was living, and they said, we're praying for you. And I'm like, don't do that. Don't pray for me. I don't want your prayers. I don't need your prayers. And you can guess what happened next. They're praying for me. They're coming at me with scriptures and things. And finally, I said, if you guys don't cut it out, this Jesus stuff. And I'll tell you what it was, is I knew them before they became Christians. And they had such a change in their lives. They had such encounters with the love of God. Their lives changed so dramatically that it scared me, because something happened to them that I did not understand. And they finally, one night, I decided I'm going to go down to that church where they're having these meetings, and I'm going to go give them a piece of my mind and tell them if they don't come back home and they don't stop leaving me alone, I'm going to leave, move out of the house. And I marched down literally to the front row where they were sitting and sat down, listened to the guy talking, turned to my friends. I'm whispering to them, I'm going to leave. You guys better be home and stop this religious stuff. Literally stood up to leave. And instead of walking out the back of the church, storming out the back of the church like I wanted to, I walked right to the altar and just stood there until the man that was preaching looked down at me and said, young lady, can I do something for you? And I said, just get it over with. Whatever you did to my friends, do to me. And I started bawling and crying. And he led me in something called the Sinner's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that night about 150 other young people ended up coming up and also giving their lives to Christ. It was a real move of God that was happening at that time, late 70s. And I just really dated myself there, didn't I? And my life totally transformed. I literally woke up the next day. The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. The sun was sunnier. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't understand any theology. I had no doctrinal background, but I had felt a touch of God when I invited Jesus Christ into my life, and he totally transformed me overnight. And then I turned into a Jesus freak. I'm the one going to church every night. I've got the Bible tucked under my arm. And God so transformed my life. I found out I wasn't an orphan. Mm. I'd always felt alone. Mm-hmm. I'd always felt like nobody cared about me. I always felt abandoned, mm-hmm. and that no, it didn't matter to anybody what was ever going to become of me. And suddenly I found out I had a father. Mm. He loved me. I had a big brother, Jesus, who gave himself for me. I also found out the name of the man who'd been in my window comforting me when I was a child. I realized that had to be Jesus. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand why he was there when I was a kid, but I knew it had to be him. Mm. Who else could it be? And so my life was totally changed and transformed. My bad habits fell off, and I like to say I was ruined for normal life.
Yeah.
And so I end up in a really great church. I get founded in the Word of God and learning how to live this new Christian life. And I realized if this is real, and it is, and God has done this in my life, and he has, I want everybody to know. So I turned into that person who was telling everybody about the love of Jesus, that they could know it too. And of course, I end up in Bible school. I end up in ministry school, and I begin to train to become a missionary. I saw God do so many marvelous things during that time period. I also got a certificate at that time on how to win a Catholic.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was trained because I was going to be a missionary now.
Right.
And I'm going to go to other nations, and I'm going to teach people about the love of Jesus. Well, the school I was in and the church I was in at the time, a very prominent denomination, thought it would be advantageous for me to understand how to win Catholics to Jesus. So I actually got certified twice and really learned a lot of things that I later found out weren't true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame my pastors or teachers. I think they thought things were true that they didn't know any different. And I find myself on the mission field. And the amazing thing that happened on the mission field was when we were doing meetings or crusades, we did huge crusades. We'd have healing crusades. We'd see people, with my own eyes, I've seen people get healed. The amazing thing that happened is when we were in countries like the Philippines or India, especially in the Philippines, I was shocked to find Catholics that were partnering with us in our crusades. And I would think to myself, how can this be? Because I have this certificate that says this can't even be possible. And I would just scratch my head because I would meet these Catholics that had deep relationships with Jesus, and I didn't even think that was possible.
Yeah.
And so I'm going through my missionary career. I had met and married my late husband, and we're traveling and ministering, and these Catholics would cross my path, and I would just sort of scratch my head and think, well, this person really has a relationship with God. How can this possibly be? Because everything I was taught was this, that, and the other thing, and they need to be evangelized, and yet they're the ones who are also evangelizing and bringing people to the Lord. So it really kind of put a big question mark in my life and in my mind. And I belonged to a missionary community in Virginia, very interdenominational. People would come from all over the world. We had a worship movement that happened. Mm. People would come from all over the world just to be in the presence of Jesus, just to worship. And Catholics also came. And we would just worship the Lord, and the glory of God would come. Literally, the presence of the Lord would just descend upon us. And I would look around, and there were Catholics from France, and there were Catholics from England and New England, as well as other Christians. And I would think, wow, what are all these Catholics doing here? And wow, Lord, when they really get touched by God, they're going to want to stop being Catholic.
Yeah.
And I remember this man, this priest came down from Jamaica, New York. His name was Father Owen Lally. And he came down with some friends of his. And it's the end of the summer. And we've been in these wonderful meetings and just basking in the presence of the Lord. And Father Owen gives me a cross. He says, I have something for you. And he gives me this Benedictine cross. And he says, the Lord told me to give this to you. And he writes me this long letter how he's praying for me. And I thought, oh, that nice man. And I folded the letter up and I put it in the case at the cross and put it in a drawer and forgot about it for a while. And every once in a while I get that Catholic thing out, mm-hmm. and I look at it and think, Lord, why did Father Owen feel to give that to me? I really feel like, Lord, you should be doing something faster in Father Owen's life and save him from the Catholic Church so he could be a real Christian like me. That's how crazy my thinking was, yeah. How much error I'd actually been taught mm-hmm. unknowingly, because after all, I'd had this certificate. And a lot of Catholics have met people like me that are really down in the Catholic Church, and we can get mutually offended with each other, Catholics and Protestants. But for me, what I experienced is Protestants who are like that, they don't really know what Catholics believe. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what Catholics believe. I didn't know the teaching of the church. And so if you have anybody that you know that's like that, show some grace, because it's not unkindness. It's not just that they're being offended for the sake of being offended. They just don't know.
Yeah.
And that was definitely my situation. I did not know. And then I remember one day the director of our ministry asked me, she said, Father Terry is here visiting from Ireland and he wants to go to St. Anne's in the morning. Can you drive him? And I said, sure, I'll do that. And picked up Father Terry and get in the car, and we drive to St. Anne's, and I pull up to the front to drop him off. And he looked at me and he said, well, you're coming in, aren't you? And I was like, can I? And he's like, sure you can. He said, come on in. He said, I'll get extra points for inviting somebody to church. I said, okay. And it was the first time that I remembered going into a Catholic church. And I remember walking in to St. Anne's in Ashland, Virginia, and I walked in. And I was stunned, first of all, there were scriptures all over the walls. It was an older church with stained glass, all scripture stories. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people read the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, this was a huge revelation for me.
Because like, oftentimes you say Catholics aren't Bible Christians.
I was told they weren't allowed. I mean, I was told all these crazy things that I later found out were not true. And then, of course, our priest friend gives the homily as the guest, and my jaw hit the floor. I'd never heard a Catholic priest speak before, that I'd never witnessed a Mass before that I could remember. And I was just floored. And then the liturgy, it was all scripture. And I remember walking away from there thinking that was nothing like I thought it would be. And it was such an eye-opener to me. And it really began to put that question mark in me, started to grow some more. And the amazing thing was, at our staff, at our little ministry in Virginia, we actually had Catholics on our staff that began to be on our staff as well. And because I had that certificate on how to win a Catholic, even though I had this experience of going to St. Anne's, and even though I'd had this experience of working on the mission field and meeting these Catholics, I still was pretty upset that our directors were allowing Catholics to participate in our ministry. So. Yeah. That's just to give you an idea.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being here today. Friends, Barbara's going to be here hopefully the whole week. She's got an amazing story, and it's going to unfold day to day here, and I hope you can invite some of your friends to tune into the program. You can also find the program on our website at renewalministries.net or at avemariaradio.net. So until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck and Barbara Heil wishing you the best, and that is Jesus Christ himself in your heart. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.